Welcome back to the show. There's no telling where we'll go. So come and share a laugh on the Imp and Skiz podcast.
Well, everybody knows we've known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
So long. We met each other in high school. You were about to graduate when we met. But our fun stories mainly from college, I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't get a lot. I mean, high school was fun. We did our marching band thing. But in college, that's when you and I really got a chance to become friends and get to know each other and live the college life. It wasn't like the normal college life. We went to like a technical trade school. You know, we weren't like at a big university in a dorm together or anything like that. But we still managed to kind of have the college experience.
Yeah, we tried our best.
No, I wouldn't say that.
We tried our best
to have fun.
Yeah, exactly. But
graduate, I guess.
Yeah, and we've told some of these stories before, but it's always been sort of in reference to or in passing or a little piece of a college story. And this podcast is about college. It's like quite literally just about those.
We got a lot of fun stories from those days that I think people would enjoy listening to and just maybe don't want to do what we did.
Yeah.
You know, not all of our stories are going to be fun, but they weren't very academic in nature.
That's unfortunately very true. I mean, we did all right. It's like we got through it. We got good grades.
We can tell some stories about how we managed to get through it barely. But I mean, just going back, the way it started, me and you even going to the school together was, you know, we were both kind of floundering around after high school trying to figure out what to do with our lives. And I had a stint up at Northern Arizona University and decided it wasn't for me. It just wasn't for me. I guess I couldn't stand the snow or something. I don't know. But so I gave up on that and we tried a community college and it was just kind of meh. And then there was that moment where we were sitting in my driveway.
Yep.
And we've told this story before, I'm sure, but we were sitting in our driveway and in my driveway and it was like we were both hungry. It was lunchtime. And we could have done the typical thing, which was go to Barrow's and get some pizza, because that's what we did pretty much every day at that time.
Yep.
But we looked at each other. You said, you know, there was a school that I've been thinking about. What do you think about going and getting a tour of it? And so we had to make that decision. Do we go take a tour of the school and maybe enroll together? Or do we go get Barrow's, get some pizza? And we actually turned down pizza, which is still amazing to this day.
Yeah.
I don't know how we decided to go to the school, but we did. We went, we took the tour. We're gonna leave the name of the school out of it because
it doesn't matter.
The references to the stories, we don't want to throw anybody under the bus.
Right. Yes, we had some negative experiences, but it wasn't a reflection of the school. It was
a reflection
of a handful of people, so we're not going to taint the name of the school
basically. Exactly. So we'll leave that out, but we ended up going. The tour was great. We decided to pull the trigger and next thing you know, we're going to school again together, which was crazy. And we ended up, you the first like year, I think you stayed at my parents' house.
Was it the first?
I think the first. I don't know if it was the first year or first semester or trimester, because we went like year round. But
I stayed with you for a little bit
just to make things easier, right? Because we had to go to school early.
Yeah, that's all it was. It wasn't. It was to make things. We were like a lot of our schedule was lined up and it was like, dude, we're ending up in the same building. Like we were even working together for a little bit there, but we're ending up in the same place over and over again throughout the week.
Every day.
Live together for a little
bit. Yeah. We had like the exact same class schedule, I think, because we were both going for the same degree. So
100%. You and I never had a class there that you weren't in. And the same the other way. It was great. Like our degree was the same. And
so we basically were inseparable at that point in time, because we'd go to school together, then come home to the same house. You were living and it was the room you stayed in was my bedroom when I was a kid. Like when I was like young, because
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Cause I have an older sister and she stayed in one bedroom. And then she had the bigger bedroom, you know, the older kid. And you got the cooler bedroom usually, right? And so when she moved out, I took her room. And then that room was vacant. And then you moved in and stayed in that room while we went to our first semester anyway. But I just remember, like, do you remember that we had to get up early to get there? Like, our first class must have been 7:30 a.m. or something like that. I don't know. It was early, maybe 8, but there was a bit of a drive to the campus.
Yeah.
And we would get up. We'd get up and we'd both come walking out of our rooms at the same time, rubbing the eye boogers off.
Yeah.
And just super tired, not wanting to go. And do you remember that day? I turned on music, right? Yeah. And it was Guano Apes.
Open your eyes.
Exactly. Yeah. It was so fitting because like that's what we were trying to do. We woke up.
Yeah.
We're trying to open our eyes to get the day going.
Yeah.
And we're just like, just zombies going to the bathroom to you know get ready. And then like the song kicks in and we just start moshing in the bathroom. It was amazing. 6 a.m.
Start like throwing you into the wall. Yeah. We're just like smashing into each other because that music that song in particular, you can't listen to and not want to push
it builds,
somebody.
It builds. Yeah. So that was hilarious. I remember that. And I just knew, man, it was gonna be a fun experience. But it was a grueling. It was a grueling few years for us to, I mean, because it was a lot of work. Like, we really had to keep our heads down and just get through it. And it wasn't easy because I don't know if this is the way college is meant to be, but it's almost like they structure it so the knowledge isn't just given to you. You have to figure out how to get it.
Right. And I think you touch on a good point there because since it was a university, but it wasn't a traditional university, right? Didn't have the, you know, sports and stuff like that. So I don't know.
If it did have a sports team, it would have been the worst sports team ever because it was a bunch of nerds.
Yeah, it was a tech school. I mean, what do you want to say? Somebody would have been okay at something. But it was, I'm with you, right? In a traditional university, is it really up to the student as much as it was to learn the stuff? Mm-hmm. Like it came down to it. A lot of our instructors that were centered around what our degree was, they didn't know what they were doing. Like that sucked. Yeah. Now our core classes, they were fine. You know what I mean? We had math classes and there was even a psych class and stuff like that. Those instructors were great, right? All the prerequisite classes, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. The core studies, but our stuff, like we were there for computers and every time, like there was not one instructor that was, whether we were talking about networking or infrastructure or whatever class we were in at the time, there was not one instructor where I was like, this dude knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like every time I'm like, this person doesn't know anything.
Yeah. I've never bought into that saying that those who can't teach, because I think that's just a horrible way to generalize teachers. But in that specific
one,
it fit. Like those, you know, like our Java teacher in particular sticks into my mind as being one that was just clueless.
So
bad. But we were excited. To get into these classes and learn this stuff we did have a friend that went to school with us, a buddy from your childhood, right?
Yep.
That you grew up with and decided to join us. And he would always give us crap. Because we would come to school, all excited, you know, and we'd go in and we'd sit in the front row and he's just looking at us like, what are you guys doing?
We wanted to do well.
Yeah, we wanted to. And we, you know, we're throwing our elbows up, you know, we're going to be studious and we're going to pay attention. We're going to hang on every word. I'm going to raise my hand and answer questions. And I'm going to get straight A's.
This is embarrassing.
And so we get to you and I sit in the front and he's like, well, I'll see you in the back in a week. You know? And so he goes and sits in the back because he's laid back. Could deem him as a slacker. He comes off as a slacker, but not necessarily.
He's not.
Anyway, so we're in the front. I remember we're in the front and things are going okay, but the teacher's kind of bad. And next thing you know, you and I catch a sniff of the worst smell in the world.
Teacher wouldn't stop pooping on us.
Oh my God. The teacher had the worst gas. Like,
and it was constant.
They can't make stink bombs than this. It was so bad that we were like gagging.
Yeah.
So our friend was very wrong about seeing us in a week because we were in the back within minutes.
I know.
And he's like, what's going on? You guys didn't last long. And we're like, dude, that teacher smells so bad. He keeps farting and it's so rank. Oh my gosh. That was the worst.
So bad. That was like, I remember being like, this is not the college experience I thought it was going to be.
Right.
You know, I want to have fun and I want to learn what I'm going to learn. And I did go into that school thinking, the instructors were going to be good and that we were going to learn stuff. But the whole those who can't teach, that only holds true in certain facets of content, right? So in this world, in the tech world, if you can do it, you're going to go work in the industry because you're going to make 10 times the amount of money as you are teaching it, right? So obviously you're not going to choose teaching over it. You're not over going and make a lot of money. So they find themselves in this world because they really just couldn't cut it. Mm-hmm. They couldn't cut it. So and now they're leading classrooms because you're not going to find people to teach the class who actually know how to do the stuff.
Yeah.
That doesn't like all the other, I shouldn't say all the other, but all other classes and courses, there's a different vibe there. The teachers are like, they're immersed in whatever their craft is, whether mm-hmm. it's English or history or whatever. They're immersed. They have a passion for it. There's no such thing as I'm a history teacher. And I mean, I could be making a lot more money as a history buff over here. Yeah. If you're a published author, maybe, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But in this world, whether it's programming or it's infrastructure, the world is hungry for that skill set. So you're going to go do that unless you can't. And if you can't, then you're going to teach it.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it was just, and it took us a while to learn it, but I think that we learned a valuable lesson that I still apply today. Nothing's ever just going to be handed to you. It's just that you got to go get it. You just mm-hmm. have to go get it. And that's something that I've applied to my work. I can actually be grateful to this school for this, because at work, when there's something that's, you know, hard to do or whatever, and nobody has the answer, I know all it really takes is just stay at it. You'll figure it out. Use the resources that are available to you. Don't stop, you know, stuff like that. And I think that's a skill set that we learned because it sucks so bad.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of, the whole sink or swim thing, if you're going to swim, then you have to be self-motivated to do the work, you know, and go figure it out. I think I probably went to the bookstore and got Java for Dummies that day or something. I'm like, I'm going to figure this out without my teacher because he's pretty much trash. So we learned quickly, like, well, maybe if we go sit in his classroom for an hour and smell his farts and don't actually learn anything, maybe there's something better we can do with our time. Luckily for us, that class was early enough in the day that we decided we would actually get more done by going to McDonald's and getting breakfast.
Yeah. So we
because that would at least give us some nourishment to get through the rest of the classes, which weren't a complete waste of our time. Get so that was kind of nice.
Get better at our foosball game.
Oh, dude, they had foosball. Yeah. That's right. We would get I'm pretty sure I'd always get the same thing, like the egg breakfast sandwich and the hash brown and an orange juice. And then we'd eat and we'd play foosball for whatever time we had left.
Yep.
And it was McDonald's, so there was a big grimace next to the foosball table that I always high five every time I scored a goal on the foosball.
I hated it. I ended up hating Grimace because he was on your side. Like you'd scored, you would turn around and jump up and smack the wall and, you know, high five Grimace like you just said. But I'd be like, I hated losing at anything back then. I'd just get so mad.
So yeah, we typically just ditched classes to go get breakfast, but it was worth it. I mean, we got through it. I don't remember what my grade was in that class, but
it was probably an A. I mean, we did fine.
That actually wasn't our first programming class. Our first one was Visual Basic.
Yes.
And that teacher actually was good.
He was
so
good.
I didn't correct you when you said like they were all bad, but there was that one good teacher. And I remember the lesson I learned from him early on was the mnemonics, or what is it called when he would
mnemonics.
Yeah. So there was a guy named Roman in our class and he was teaching us we're like, how do you remember everybody's name after the first day? And he's like, oh, I use this mnemonics device. And so I look at him and he's a big guy and he reminds me of a big Roman soldier, you know?
I do remember that.
And so now I know his name is Roman, you know? And I was like, whoa, that is so smart. I didn't actually apply that to my life. I still suck at names, but I thought that was smart at the time.
Yeah.
Do you remember our first assignment in that class?
Okay. So if we're thinking of the same one, it was, you're talking about Visual Basic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if we're thinking of the same one, he had everybody stand up and he wanted us to line up in order of age in regards to like youngest to oldest, or it may have been alphabetically based on our names. It was one of the two, but we were only able to do it by asking yes or no questions. And that was his way of teaching us basically like ones and zeros. Mm-hmm. Like it was like, and it was like, everybody was, what am I doing? Who, what's happening? So it was, you're not allowed to say, how old are you? You had to say like, are you greater than 40? Are you greater than 30? Like stuff. And then you would have to piece it together. I'm with you. He was a good teacher. He was a good one. He was a really chill cat too.
Yeah.
You know,
he forced us to have to think outside the box. Cause like the programming at the time, like we were just so new to it. Didn't understand the concept.
So new.
And he knew
that. Calculator. That's where you're going.
I was going with our first homework assignment.
Yeah.
Not the in-class.
Yeah. Thing. This is good. So, you tell.
So, it was like the end of our, I don't know if it was first day or first week or what, but he's like, okay, so we got a homework assignment for you guys. I need you guys to go home and develop a calculator.
Yeah.
App, in Visual Basic.
One that works.
You have to have a calculator. So it has an input. What's 1 + 1? Equal. Yeah. And then it's going to tell you 2, right? And so we're like, okay, that sounds easy enough.
This is so funny. And then
we go home.
But hold on. Explain, the reason it sounded easy is because we had learned what it was to move the boxes around the objects.
Yeah, yeah, they taught us the UI piece.
All the different properties.
Here's how you make a text
them.
Box. Exactly. Here's how you make a button.
Exactly.
All that stuff. But we hadn't exactly gotten into the code
right.
part, the logic part.
Right, right.
So at this point, a lot of time has actually passed before we got to that class because... my wife was also living, we called it Casa de Impulse.
That's right. Yeah.
Not Impulse, obviously, but at the time I wasn't Impulse. But because my parents' house became like this place where everybody just rented a room.
Yeah.
And
no, I love your parents.
Yeah. After I'd met my wife, we weren't like together yet. Oh, yeah. We're kind of dating, but she'd like moved from Idaho and she was in a very bad part of town mm-hmm. in an apartment that was like her car was getting broken into constantly. Yeah. Her roommates sucked.
Yeah.
And so she just confided in me that she was in a very bad living situation. And I'm like, well, my parents have another spare room.
Yeah.
Maybe we can see if you can rent that from them. And so she ended up moving in as well, which made sense. So now 3 of us could carpool.
Yep.
But, and the reason I brought that up is because we went home that night and it was the 3 of us.
Yeah.
Back at Casa de Impulse. And, and we're like, okay, let's figure this calculator assignment out. And we start to think about it. We're like, wait, do we have to program how addition works and subtraction works? Like we have to, how do I
tell the computer how to do math?
Yeah. We thought we were going to have to program how math works.
That's right.
Into the code.
Yeah.
And we were just like, our all of our gears grinded to a screeching halt as we blankly stared at each other. And then somehow we figured out like, actually, no, if you do 1 + 1 equals, the code knows to generate 2. It's got built in somewhere under the hood. Code knows how to do that. The Visual Basic code knows how to do that. It's part of the framework. We didn't know that. Like, he didn't explain that
to us.
We didn't know.
We just stared at our screens.
For
like
a very long time. We were super frustrated.
Yeah, because for both of us, at that time, not understanding something was a foreign concept. Yeah. It really was. Like, it wasn't like we were just good at everything, but it was everything that we had been exposed to in our life from a fundamental standpoint. We were just instantly good at. We got the basics of anything and everything really quickly. This was the only time where both of our wheels just went, and we were just like, wait a minute, what am I doing? Like you said, am I inventing math? Like, this is a big assignment for our first one. And I remember it finally dawned on, I don't even know which one of us it dawned on, but I was like, I think we need to assign all these different buttons their own values, and we need to write the code so that it takes that value and plugs it into a variable. So we had variable A, we had variable B. If you push this button, assign it to variable A. If you push that button, whatever.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, we're like, oh, this is easy. And it was just, it was so hard to begin with.
Once we realized that we didn't have to tell it how addition works, it was like, oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Meanwhile, the computer's looking at us and he's like, you know, I'm a computer, right? You don't have to redesign math.
I'm a processing unit. I know what I'm doing. That was fun though. I mean, that got us on our journey as far as learning how logic and code works. And we did have a few other good teachers. I think it was classic ASP. Maybe she wasn't that good. We just really liked her. Do you remember her?
Yes. Was this...
I'm trying not to say names.
I don't remember her name, but is this where That's a Good Question Newman comes from? Was it?
Yeah.
Her? Yeah. Yeah.
She was funny. She like was we cool. knew that we could like kind of razz her a little yeah. bit, and she could take it, and she'd roll with it.
Yeah.
And so we'd get a little rowdy in her classroom.
I even bummed cigarettes off her. That was back when I was smoking, and I mean this is a billion years ago, obviously, but I would even bum, and she was cool, and we would hang out and. And she was chill. You know what I mean? And she was pretty good. We had her twice, dude. We had her.
Yeah, we did have her twice.
I think we, did we have her for Excel? Is that a thing?
I don't know. See, I was thinking this was forever ago, it feels like. But yeah, I was like, how were we doing Visual Basic? And my wife was already living in my parents' house. And wouldn't that have been like the first week we were at school? There's no way I moved fast in getting that relationship going, but I didn't think I was that fast. I was like, hi, my name is Impulse, and now you're living at my house.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it didn't hurt to happen that way.
Pretty forward. No. So I remember, this is actually a good talk to have because when we're streaming, we say this a lot where you say, that's a good question, Newman. And we've never really explained where it comes from. So
yeah, it comes from this.
So this is a good story. Let's see. So Newman was a guy in our class and that was his last name. I think who cares?
I think you're right. Yeah.
I think it was his last name. So everybody called him Newman. He was a good dude. And he didn't do anything wrong. So we're clear. But essentially, this is what the teacher had showed us something like in Excel. She had it up on the big screen and she's like, and if you do this and you click this and hold down control, then this happens. Right. And we're all, oh, yes. Great. Yeah. Like, who cares?
We were feeling a little saucy that day or something. Right. And so we took this really boring Excel class and decided, you know what? Let's over celebrate everything she does.
Yeah. And then she does. And she says, if you do control A and do in format paint or something to that effect, and you right click, look what happens. And it was like, it was cool or whatever, but we're just like, oh my, yes. And we're standing up and I just start, doing this. And every people in class, they start doing it. So now we're just pumping it. Now she's laughing. She's like, just would you sit down? So we sit down and then she does something else. We pop up, freaking out. And she's even laughing. And then finally, we're like, we gotta calm it down. So we calm it down. And now we're back into serious mode. And Newman asked a question. It's a legit question, but all he did was ask a question to her. And I stood up, that's a good question, Newman. Good question. And everybody pops up, good question, Newman.
The crowd goes wild. Yeah. I mean, that had to have been awesome, though, if you're thinking about it now, for the teacher. Right?
I agree.
Because her entire day was probably the same boring, deliver this to the class, and everybody's there just maybe paying attention, glossed over, whatever. And then we get there and we get a little rowdy and have some fun. And all of a sudden, I bet you anything, she went home that day with a smile on her face.
Yeah. Like
that was a fun class.
Yeah, she was cool.
Yeah.
She was cool. I'm really glad you're bringing this up because it wasn't like every teacher was bad. I made that sound way worse than it was. She was good. We had plenty of good. I guess it's just there was a handful of bad instructors that really kind of just stuck with me. And so that was unfair.
Yeah, that's the thing is you think back, our Java instructor, our networking instructor. I mean, there was ones that were just like, why are you here?
Yeah.
You're sucking the soul. Your soul's gone, obviously.
It's
and
long
now
gone.
You're and now you're sucking the soul out of every kid that comes in here and we're paying for this?
Yeah.
Like a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening here? So you know, you were always one to stand up for, and you still are, stand up for your beliefs. And when it got really bad, you actually went to the dean and let the dean know.
I had to.
Like, look, this is what's going on in your classrooms. You should be aware of this because what it's actually impacting is mega.
Yeah.
And you,
it was big time.
You stood up for all the students in the entire university, which is crazy.
Yeah. Well, so our class in particular, they were livid with this guy. This guy was super, I mean, we've told these stories before, but, the whole entire class, like the entirety of the class was like, this guy's ruining my not career, but he's ruining my college career. I'm doing great in all my classes except this guy, and this guy's just like vindictive, and he was just really, really bad news.
Mm-hmm.
And I was young and dumb, but I knew that people had a propensity to follow me, and they were just like, do whatever you want, we're with you, you know. I'm like, I'll talk to the dean because this has got to stop. And I credit the dean to this, man. we come in and was like, it wasn't mob mentality. It wasn't like that, but there was a bunch of us. And I said, I'd like to talk to the dean about one of the instructors. Now I was very young and I didn't know there's a better way to do this. And the dean comes out of his office and he sees this mob. And I to this day, this moment inspires me the way he handled it. He goes, I'll talk to one of you. And I, and one person behind me is like, we're all here for the same thing. And he goes, I'll talk to one of you. Like he said, it was very direct. And mm-hmm. And so I said, all right, guys, go just hang out in the lobby. So I went in and talked to him and it was a good talk. And it was an interesting one because what he needs to do is he needs to back his staff. He does. I know this now. I'm an older guy now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that's what his job needs to be, to back his staff, to have a strong front. But there's only so much you can do when I'm bringing you this much evidence. You can't sit idle on it. You know what I mean? It was like very, very, very bad. And so he finally, I remember to this day, he put me to the test. This was an interesting moment because even though I was young, I developed my skill set to understand people at a very early age. And he started to ask me a question and I was like, he's setting me up right now. I don't remember what it was, but I was like, if I answer this honestly, here's what's going to happen. It's going to make me look bad if I answer this honestly. However, he knows what the truth is. He knows what it is. So he's going to see am I going to answer honestly or am I and hurt myself or am I going to lie? That's what he's doing right now. And I know it. And so when he asked the question, I said, okay, well, and I said, this is going to hurt my case, but I have to actually defend him at this point. And then I said my piece to defend the teacher. I knew what he was doing, but he didn't know I knew what he was doing. Yeah. And I defended the teacher in that one instance because he knew if I lied, I could bury the teacher, but I can't because he knew the truth, but he didn't lead on that. He knew it. I just picked up on it. So
I also, if you had lied about that, then the entire case you were making against the teacher could have been fabricated for all he knew.
100%. Yeah. But what's more is that he really thought he was asking, or no, he thought he was coming off like he was asking a real question. Like he didn't know the answer. I knew he knew the answer. I could see it on his eyes, you know? And I said, well, this is going to hurt my case. I have to defend him now. And I gave the truth. And I said, so in that instance, no, he's not at fault for that. And he goes, don't worry about this. I'll take care of it. Like in that moment. And I said, you will. Wow. And he goes, I'll take care of it. Like in that moment, he realized, yeah, this kid is telling me the absolute truth about everything. Like I just gave him an opportunity to bury himself and he didn't take it, you know? And so it was an interesting moment. And then he took care of it. And so
that part, you know, it's like, we got what we wanted, but it still didn't sit well. Right. Like the teacher was let go. Like
the next semester. Yeah. Yeah. And we don't know. I mean, he finished out that semester, but it was the next one.
He was gone. Yeah.
But, and it was like, yeah. And he came back the next semester, but he was only there for a few weeks and then he was gone. So I don't know how related it all is, but the guy was a jerk.
Yeah.
He was a complete jerk. Like it was, and this is, I don't advocate for this, but keep in mind, I was very young at the time, but when I went after him, I was like, this is a three-step plan. You know what I mean? I said, I got to get the grades changed. I want to get this guy fired because he is a very, very bad dude. And then I'm going to find him in a bar like that. That's really stupid. You know what I mean? I never did the third step. Jeez. I never went. Yeah. But I was like, I got to separate him from the school. And then I'm going to do some stuff. I did like this guy sucked. Yeah. Like there was people like you said, we're paying for this, man. And these people are like, these kids they have all these hopes and they want, I was one of them, you know, we're getting on the right track. And now this guy's ruining our futures because he was just so miserable with his own existence, you know, but whatever. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I didn't beat him up. No, I didn't beat him up.
I remember that being in the dean's office now that you brought that up and us, I mean, it was probably good that we were all there so he could see that it wasn't going to be just like one person's story.
Right. Right.
Right. That there was this was affecting many people, but like obviously crowding his office and feeling like a mob, was bad.
It was so stupid to do that. And I wasn't, even though I felt like it gave us a strong front, which was good, I didn't have the brains to realize how threatening that is.
Yeah.
That's stupid. That was a dumb way to do it, you know? And I know that now, but I was just really young and dumb at the time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. So let's see. we had a lot happen during those couple years that we were at this place, because we did actually move out of my parents' house at some point. Mm-hmm. All of us.
I moved into an apartment, and I got married. Mm-hmm. And that's when I got married, and then my now wife, you know, moved in with me, and the whole chapter is very fuzzy to me because there was so much chaos in my life at the time. But
yeah,
but it was,
well, we were going to school and working jobs.
Oh yeah.
We would, and juggling that was super difficult. Mm-hmm. Because we'd come home, and this was like a university where there was a lot of work,
a lot of work. Yeah.
So we would have hours of homework, and on top of that, have to maintain a job because, yep, you know, even when we're living at my parents, like, it wasn't free. Like, they charge rent. It wasn't a lot. My parents were very cool about it.
Oh, super cool.
But, you know, we still had to pay rent to stay there. And we still had to, like, buy our own food and gas.
Did you pay rent?
Yeah, I did.
I did not know that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, not until my wife moved in.
Oh, gotcha.
We kind of paid rent.
Gotcha. Okay.
Once we kind of shared the space.
Yeah. So, I understand.
Which I like, my parents were really cool about that. Like, letting me stay in with my girlfriend in the same place, you know, well, in their house. It's weird.
Well, once your girlfriend, who's now your wife, moved in, that's when I went to, so my wife and I were not married at the time, but we were engaged. And I went to her and I was like, I got to get out.
Then you became the third wheel.
Well, super third wheel. Yeah. But more than that, it wasn't like, oh, I'm a third wheel, I got to get out. It was more like, this is a big next step in his journey. I want to get out of the way. Yeah. That's what it was. Like, he just met this really cool girl and they're like starting up, and I don't want to be in the way. I want to get out of the way. Yeah. Like, that's what that was. So I got out of the way, you know? And so we kind of fast tracked our apartment. But she didn't move in until we got married. So I was living by myself for a very short stint there, but that apartment also became a really good study zone. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you would come, you and just say his name, Drew is the other buddy. And he would, you both would come over and we would just study for hours, dude. And that went on. That apartment was a good study zone for a long time there.
Yeah.
Jeez, I forgot about that.
Speaking of getting out of the way, like we skipped over how I even met my wife.
Yeah.
So day one, mm-hmm, she was going to this school. And day one, we walk into our first class and it's time to look around and see who we're going to sit next to and become friends with and all that. And there's this, I mean, she's super hot.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh, I didn't expect there to be hot girls here.
I know.
My eyes are lighting up. I'm like, whoa, there's hot girls at a tech school.
Dude, I remember I almost said to her, you're in the wrong place. Yeah. This is, I don't think you know where you're at.
Well, she did end up finding out she was in the wrong place later, a few semesters later, but that was a different story.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was funny because she was in the, I think she was up in the front row and there was a desk next to her. And I was like, I want to sit next to her, you know, she's hot.
Yeah.
And you let me have it.
Of course
you let me have the, you know, and then I got to know her. Like, she was super interesting. She was very quiet. She's still very quiet. But for whatever reason, like, her being quiet made me even more interested in her. Cause I had to know what's beneath the surface, you know,
mystery there.
Yeah. There was super mystery. And so, I got to know her, found out she was new to the area. She mm-hmm. had moved from Idaho, and the only people she had like known at that time were just her roommates that she had just moved in with for a couple days, and they ended up sucking. But so I did my thing. I was like, hey, I've lived here for X amount of years. I could show you around. You want to go out to dinner sometime? She took me up on it. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So we went to our first date was mini golf.
Is that very good?
Yeah, and then we had a food afterwards, and then a movie. Like, it was a trifecta night. It was a good date.
Yeah,
yeah, it was great. Except the movie sucked. It was Little Nicky. That was a
That's
fail.
That's right. We've talked.
That
about.
Was a fail. So, I mean, come on, Adam Sandler's always funny.
Yeah,
but Little Nicky sucked.
Everybody's got to have a junk movie.
So. But it actually ended up working in my favor, because after the movie was over, I was like, well, that movie was a bomb. I'd like to make it up to you. Let's try this again and pick a better movie.
That's good.
And so she took me up on a second date where we went and saw Charlie's Angels, and that was much better. So I got a second date out of it at least. But, yeah. So that's how we ended up meeting. And then Thanksgiving time came, and she was going to be like alone on Thanksgiving. And I was like, oh, that's terrible. And so I asked my parents, I was like, hey, do we got room at the table for one more? And they're like, sure, what's going on? I was like, oh, this girl, you know, she doesn't really have anybody to spend Thanksgiving with. And my parents are like, oh, I think we know what's up.
Yeah. You know? Well, this is all obviously before she moved in, you know.
Yeah. So that was like her first time, like, coming in and meeting my parents and stuff. We had Thanksgiving together and it was good. But yeah. And then that ended up obviously going where it went. Now we're married. But like you said, she, over the course of time at that school, you know, we would come home, we would do our homework together and stuff. And, I was picking it up really well, you know, like the programming piece of this was just happening kind of naturally for me. Yeah. And it wasn't really happening naturally for her to the point that she was getting a little frustrated with it, you know, and that couldn't have been easy to see, like, probably you and me kind of like doing okay. And then she was struggling. And so she's just like, well, maybe this isn't for me. Every day we drove in across the street, there was an art school. Mm-hmm. And she's like, maybe I belong there.
And she does.
And she did. Because now, I mean, people could see in our set
she designed
that
everything.
She's designed
here.
In this mm-hmm. whole space and the inside my house and the backyard and everything. She's like an amazing interior designer. And that's what she ended mm-hmm. up going to school for instead of computers. But it worked out.
But she's like so, well, she's so talented, man. Like, I remember like years later, there was a birthday party for, I don't know, maybe your oldest. And he was really little. I don't remember. It was a long time ago, mm-hmm. but she had made some sort of doll. I don't remember the specifics of it, not for him, but for somebody else. But the doll had like these braids and she had hand done this thing. And the braids were like unbelievable perfection. And I'm looking at this and she had said she made it. And I'm like, what do you mean you made this? Like, I didn't understand what that meant. Right. Like, you ordered this, I can order stuff. And she's like, yeah, I made it. And I'm like, you put the hair together and you put the, like, you made this thing. She's like, yeah. And I'm all, you fascinate me. That's what I said to her. I was like, because I was like, what else can you do? Like this, like, because when it came to the, like her being artistic and stuff, she's one of those people that is so naturally good at it that she's not aware of how bad the rest of us are. Yeah.
No, she does that to me all the time. I'm like, she designs my studio space and, she designed the back wall and I was going to design the front wall. And sure enough, I wasn't happy with my part of the project. Mm-hmm. And I tore it all down and I said, you do it. Yeah. And so she redesigned the wall in front of me. We talked about this even with Tango last podcast. And she said, I want to get you a neon sign that has your name on it to go in this space right here. And I was like, okay, cool. So she gets a sign and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to put it up. And she's like, no. We need to like mount it on a frame, like give it a proper background that's going to really bring it out and stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, what? And then like, so why don't we just order it that way? And she's like, no, we're going to make it. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, I'm going to buy a frame and we're going to mount it to the frame and all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to do all that.
Yeah.
And so sure enough, she did it. She bought the frame. She had to paint the frame because it wasn't like the color she wanted it. And then mount this neon sign to it so that it's like float. I'll show you after this is over. It turned out amazing. So it's like floating off the thing and she did the whole thing. And I'm like, I would have never done that. I would have just kept shopping on Amazon until I found that. And chances are I would have never found it.
Yeah.
Like she just really likes to tackle the get in there and get your hands on it and make whatever is in her mind happen.
Yep.
And it's crazy. Yeah. She's got a vision.
She should play Minecraft.
She's awesome.
Dude.
She knows better. She knows better because she's seen the game. She knows what the game's about. And she knows that if she started playing Minecraft, that'd be it. I'd never see her again.
She's never coming out.
I would never see her again. Yeah. She would be amazing.
Yeah.
I'm sure she would be like, she could get to like Pearlescent Moon level.
Yeah.
You know, as far as like being a visionary, being an artist with blocks. But she knows it would consume her and she just can't.
Yeah.
She can't do that to herself.
Those freaking people, they see on a dimension that my eyes just don't pick up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you know how like dogs can hear what humans can't? these artists, like they see things that I just can't see. And it's, mm-hmm. It's really maddening because I want to be able to, I cover yeah. that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I mean, it, had it not been, it's this whole butterfly effect. I go back to, you know, we've told, you know, we kind of fast forward to some of this, how we ended up in my driveway, mm-hmm. making the decision to even go to this school. But it goes back before that when I came over to your house to drum yep. and I saw that networking book half covered with dirty clothes on your floor. And
it wasn't that dirty. It wasn't.
Yeah, I was about to make a joke about how messy your room was. But had I not seen that book, then we wouldn't have ended up even in my driveway that day. And I wouldn't have ended up going to the university where I met my wife yeah. and now have three beautiful kids
yep.
and an amazing life. You know, it's like, it's so crazy thinking back, but our actual like dedication to the college experience. Yeah. We joked about it, you know, like, okay, so we'd go off, we'd get to school and then immediately leave to go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
But we had some other stuff that we did that was kind of funny. Like, we never really had like full awareness of what was expected of us, yeah. it seems like. The one project yeah. that comes to mind, what did he call it? Was it portfolio? What was it called? Oh, deliverables.
Deliverables.
Yeah. So we had this one project, and it was like our senior project, wasn't it? It was yeah. a big deal. And we thought the project was just this program.
No. We thought that we had an option because we basically made a program, we made something, and we had to deliver it at not a job fair, but at sort of a project fair.
Right.
Is what it was, where you set up your trifold and you have a display and you give your pitch and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And you do all that. And we really thought, we really did. You, me, and Drew were in the same group yeah. together on this. We really thought that we just needed to pick one. Either you present to the class or you go to this project fair and you present there.
Yeah.
We didn't know that it doesn't matter if you go to the project fair, you got to also present to the class. Yeah, we didn't know that. So we did the project fair.
And we knocked out of the park. Like, we did a really good job at the project fair.
We
like,
did well.
Like, we, yeah, our trifold was awesome.
Yeah.
I can't even remember putting it together, we did to be honest. Well.
But then we were supposed to present to the class and we were on the schedule and everything. And not only did all three of us not know we needed to do this, you and I didn't even go to class.
Didn't go to class that day.
We went to McDonald's
the day we were scheduled to present.
Yeah, but Drew walks in, and as he walks in, the whole class is there because he happened to walk in at the very moment that we were supposed to be presenting. And Drew walks in, and the whole class is looking at him. They're all, "Are you ready?" He's all, "Ready for what?" And they're all, "To present." And he goes, and so he starts dancing. He's like, "Is this okay?" Like you know, and he just kind of backs out of the class. And then you and I show up, and this is when we were all really into Office Space. And they're all, "Yeah, it's just that it's not a half day or anything." You know, we're like, "What are you talking about?" They're like, "You missed your presentation." And we're like, "What?" And Drew's like, "Dude, that was really embarrassing. I was all by myself. And apparently we're supposed to be presenting."
Yeah.
And then do you remember how the teacher was gracious enough to give us another date? Yeah,
he's like, "Okay, sorry. Okay, I'll let you guys slide on this one. We'll reschedule for, you know, come back." And so we're like, "Okay, all right, we're going to come back. We're going to actually go this time."
Yeah.
That's a good start.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. And so we show up. Now we're ready. We show up.
And there's no class. It's just a professor.
Yeah, yeah. He just like, "I'll stay after school or whatever and hear you out.
Set this up just for us." Yeah. What a cool thing to do.
So we walk in and he's there. And we go up to the thing. And here was what we had in our mind. We thought we were just going to represent the project fair.
The
trifold and whatever. We thought we were just going to walk him through it again.
You're skipping over a really big piece. The first time Drew was there, we didn't show up. When we rescheduled, we showed up. Drew didn't show up.
Oh, I forgot that Drew didn't show up. Yeah,
I'm sitting there and I'm calling him. I mean, this was like, I'm like, and he's, you know, "You overslept or whatever. Okay, now go."
So so we walk in and we're thinking it's one thing. And so we're like, okay. So we're just, you know, so now we're actually asking him because we weren't sure. So we're just, you know, supposed to show you our presentation from the project fair. And he's like, "Well, let's start with your deliverables." And we're like, "What? What? Deliverables? What do you, what's that?" He's like, "You know, your binder of deliverables." And we're like, "Oh, we don't have that. What are you talking about?" And he face palmed harder than I've ever seen anybody facepalm in my entire life. Both hands,
so embarrassing,
starting at the top of his face and then slowly sliding down his face, pulling his face down.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you just did, it was audible.
Yeah.
Yeah. You actually made that noise. Yeah.
And I felt like a piece of shit. Yeah. You can bleep that out if you need to.
You went for it.
But man, yeah, I was like, so I am the worst student ever. What are we doing here? We don't belong. We're gonna fail. We're not gonna make it.
We're not gonna make it.
This is where we actually get kicked out.
It was the worst. And we ended up like, I don't know how we got through it somehow. We did something, and then I did it for a while, and then you took over. Now you gotta remember, when Drew didn't show up, I was like, can we reschedule? And he's like, no, you cannot. And I said, so what's going to happen to Drew? And he goes, he's going to get docked. I remember this. He's like, you guys, he's like, here's your choices. The two of you can present right now and get your grade, or not present, and I'm docking all three of you. I'm like, good. So I'm calling Drew, calling Drew. I don't want Drew to suffer. I'm calling him. Can't get him to show up. And we do our thing, and I'm doing my piece of it. And then you take over for a little bit. I don't remember the specifics, but I'm like, he was on his laptop the whole time. I'm like, I kind of want to see what kind of notes he's taking, because I'm really embarrassed right now. Mm-hmm. And I kind of sneak over to get a little look at his laptop, and he's playing Minesweeper. I'm all, oh, okay, we completely lost this guy. I was like, we deserve it. We deserve it. We were just, that's an embarrassing, because he was not a bad guy. He was a good guy.
Yeah. No, I liked him. Yeah. But yeah, he definitely, oh man. You know what? That was funny, because that made me think of, you had a thing with teachers where you would always find, I always have trouble with this word,
idiosyncrasies. Yeah.
That's a tough word. Yeah. And so every teacher you would like, I wouldn't notice things, you know, but then you would point it out, and it would ruin me. Like the second you pointed out like that, you ever watch this teacher? Anytime they tell you a new point or whatever, they make a point. They clap their hands and they go, right, you know, right? And they clap their hands. But every time he does it, his watch clasp comes undone.
So
every time he goes, right, claps his hands, and then fixes his watch clasp. And it happens every single time. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Was that him? Was it that
guy? No, that was a different teacher. Okay. But from then on out, I didn't hear a word of any lecture he ever did. All I could focus on was him clapping his hands and fixing his watch clasp over and over again, every single class.
And it was never the word right. It was...
He couldn't even say the word right all the way.
Yeah.
It was just a noise.
And he would, like you said, clap and then the clasp. But I think he enjoyed... Okay. I think he enjoyed the way he looked when he was fixing his watch. I think he thought it looked cool. Hmm. So I think when he would clap on purpose in hopes that it would unclasp so that he had a chance to fix it. But he did it so much, I'm like, dude. And I loved pointing that stuff out to you. Yeah. And the more you expressed to me that you hated it when I did that, the more I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Never tell kids you don't like something, because then he's just going to do it
more. I got to razz you. You hate it. There was another one. Oh boy, what was there was another teacher that had, it wasn't an idiosyncrasy, but this guy, it was like the whole, I don't remember what this class was, but he gave us a packet. And I remember it was the pages were listed so stupidly that it was infuriating, right? If he gave us a package that was 10 pages, you should just have it pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If you have to do X of Y, fine. Page 1 of 10, page 2 of 10, page 3 of 10. That's okay too. I know that seems a little bit over the top. But his page 1, if it was 10 pages, page 1 was page 1 of 1.
Yeah.
And page 2 was page 2 of 2.
Yeah.
And page 7 of 7.
Yeah.
And he would vocalize it. Now turn to page 6 of 6. I'm like, what? Why does he do this? Like, I remember being like, it's making me so crazy because it's so stupid. Like, you know what I mean? I remember I brought it up to you and you're like, yeah, what is this? And I was like, I can't get over it. Like, I don't know. Is he testing us? Maybe like if I say, hey, teacher, what are you doing? Is he going to be like, why did it take this long for one of you to point out how dumb this is?
He wasn't the psych teacher, right?
No, the psychology teacher
might have messed with us.
If it was him,
way.
Who, by the way,
that's our psychology teacher was the
one
best
of my
teacher.
Favorite teachers yeah. of all time.
Yeah.
Of all time.
I still think about him.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could say his name. I'm not going to say his name. I remember his name. He was literally.
That dude was well ahead of his time.
Oh, easily.
Well ahead of his time. Like he was calling things out to happen later and down the road.
Let's talk about marijuana.
Okay, yeah, let's go into it.
Yeah, so he's talking about marijuana and he was saying, he goes, now you have to understand, he says the legality of something has no basis as to whether or not it is a good, inherently good or bad thing. And he goes, let's talk about the fact that marijuana is illegal. This is a long time ago. It's mm-hmm. not anymore, but it was illegal.
It's still illegal in some places.
In some places, yeah. but it's for the most, it's one of those things. I don't, whatever. It's super legal compared to what it was right back right. then. And he says, he starts talking about, you know, some statistics with marijuana. He's like, you know, nobody has ever OD'd on THC. It's not a thing. And he goes in, it's not an addictive thing. It can be behaviorally addictive, but it's not an addictive substance in the classic sense of like alcohol, which is mm-hmm. an addictive substance. He goes, now the thing about alcohol, he said, alcoholics are born alcoholics. He goes, it's in your DNA, whether or not you have the propensity to latch on to alcohol, it's why it runs in families, mm-hmm. you know? And he's when you talk about the deaths and the tragedies that have ensued because of abuse of alcohol and you compare it to like marijuana, he's like, it's they're not even on the same ballpark. You know, and so he had that and he goes, it'll be legal. Marijuana will be legal. It'll come. And he's like, so, and we're like, are you a pothead? He's like, no. And he's like, I'm just telling you, he was talking about societal norms as well.
Yeah.
And he used that as an example. Right. And he was cool. But if you remember, I think we've talked about this story too. This is one of my favorite ones too. The whole class, he asked us a question. It was more about societal norms. It was another day. And he says, what would you guys think of me if I was dating like a 25 year old, right? And he wasn't, he was a married dude. He was just talking mm-hmm. to me like, you know, and I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, all of us had him like, maybe he's maybe 35, 36, like maybe around there. And I'm thinking, I mean, there's an age difference there. All of us are thinking the same thing. Maybe there's an age difference there. And I mean, it's not a huge age difference. I mean, how do I really feel about this? I mean, I don't know. That's not the biggest deal in the world. And the whole class is pondering this. And he goes, now keep in mind, I'm about to turn 50. And everybody's like, what?
Yeah.
And now like are we like now I
that
definitely
derailed the entire conversation. Cause now everybody's like, how are you 50? You look like you're 35.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me what you're doing. Do I need to start smoking marijuana? He said he wasn't a pothead. You said that. But
no, yeah.
I mean, it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, I am doing things wrong with my life because obviously he has found the fountain of youth.
Yeah.
And man, he was just so insightful, so cool.
He was.
Like that was God, what a mixed bag the whole experience was, because we went from the teacher that was stinking up the room and delivering nothing to this like amazing psychology teacher that taught us lessons that we still carry to this day.
Yeah.
That experience is so crazy. Yeah. You can walk out of one classroom that's garbage and walk into one that's just like so enlightening.
Yep.
In the same building. How does that happen?
I don't know, man. And he was just so good. And I enjoyed that. I mean, I've always really, really, really enjoyed psychology and
yeah,
sociology.
That's true too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been like in fact, that was the second time I took that class, because I took it before at another school and I got like a 97 in it and I did well, but it for some reason
didn't transfer. College credit stuff is weird.
Yeah, it's just like it's super weird. So I found out I had to take it again, and you should be like, I already took this class, but I was like, okay, because I just like it so much. I just like it so much. Mm-hmm. And so him and I, we got along really, really well. I was able to hang out after class and just ask him things that were sort of on my mind. And he entertained every single one of them. He was never like, I got to get going. You know what I mean? We would talk and he was just so cool. And look at me now. Look how old I am. And I still remember him. Look at the impact that he had. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I did a going deep one time about imprinting, you know, like be very cognizant of what you're saying, because you don't know when you are or you're not imprinting. And this is a positive version of, so we should do a podcast on this eventually. But this is a positive version of it to where he imprinted in a very big way on my life. Mm-hmm. You know, he was great, man. I'm grateful for him.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. That was an amazing class. Unfortunately, at that point in time, I remember my wife had already left that school for the art institute. So, she didn't get a chance to go through that, because that she would like that too. She's big into that stuff. But that was such a good experience.
You can't not like him. He was so wonderful. So was our math teacher too. I liked him a lot too. I could say his name too, and I won't. I know his first and last name.
I
don't
remember his name, but I remember his face.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the guy. He looked like a math teacher. Yeah, you know what I mean?
He was the quintessential math teacher.
He was like, his symmetry was like, he looked like a cartoon. He was like a perfect, like, square head and all this. And he was a really good math teacher. But I also really like math. You know what I mean? So, you know, I did greatness class. You did greatness class.
But it was hard. Like, the math he was teaching, it wasn't like the simple math. It was harder.
Well, we had him twice. One was for like some sort of algebra class, and then like a year later we had him for statistics. And that
statistics
was,
one was kind of tough.
It was tough, but it was
he did
so
such a good job of explaining how things work that we got it.
Yep. But. And I apply a lot of that today in poker, believe it or not. Oh, wow. When I'm playing poker and I'm pretty confident on where I stand, you know what I mean? I'm able to work out the odds of what I need in order to overcome my opponent. Now, if I don't have a good read on my opponent, it doesn't matter. But when I'm very confident, when I'm looking at what happened and how they're betting and all this, and I'm like, yeah, they have top pair right now. They have me beat, but I have six outs. I have six outs in the next turn or river that's going to overtake them. And six times four, this is 24%. I'm 1-4. So based on their betting, I'm going to know how, you know what I mean? Like, this is, so my brothers get annoyed. They're like, you do too much math. I'm like, it's not all math. Math is like a very, very slight influencer in my poker play. It's very slight. You know what I mean? But you still got to know where you stand. You know what I mean? And so that, like that class, like statistics, really rubbed me right. I enjoyed, because statistics is a form of fortune telling. It just is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like statistics and probability is what it was, right? And it's a form of using the numbers and that exists in the ether to your advantage to make the best predictions that you possibly can. And you're not going to always be right, but it's a fun game. You know what I mean? It's fun. It's fun to play with.
It's interesting to think. So we're talking about our experiences and like what we still took with us out of the college experience or just school in general. Like, a lot of people think that you retain like nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, school's just it's pencil whipping, right? Like, just get through it, get your degree or whatever, and then you get a job. And what you actually learn in school is not going to be useful. And in some parts, they're right. There's a lot of stuff in school that I learned and I never actually need in my everyday life. But then there is stuff like what you just talked about. It's like, man, okay, so there is merit in getting through school and getting that education and you know, whether it's high school or college or whatever.
It's worth it. Let's expand on that, because you're absolutely right. But I think what a lot of people are missing is sometimes you learn a skill set and the skill set is not something you end up needing. But what you walk away with was the journey of learning that skill set. And what I mean by that is, that is not only transferable, that is eternal. You're always going to need to have the skill set to learn something. Sometimes the something you learn doesn't have a whole lot of value, but the learning of the something is the actual skill set you ended up picking up. And that's what I mean, how, like, today, you know what I mean? Are you still like, I mean, you think I'd be super established in my job now to where there's nothing left to learn? That couldn't be further from the truth. Mm-hmm. Still need to learn, still need to do it. So that's what I think, like, we mostly walk out with.
Yeah, I mean, we ripped on the Java teacher pretty hard, but I learned a lot from that, because I learned how to go figure things out on my own.
You learned how to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I learned, like, okay, if I'm not going to get spoon-fed, I have to man up and go get books, go to the internet, go figure this out, go dive in and spend some extra time on it to teach myself.
Yep.
And in doing so, that actually, like, trained a work ethic into me that I didn't have already.
Yeah.
Like, and it was because that teacher sucked so bad.
Yeah.
But it was still a valuable experience, which is crazy to think. He stunk.
I know. my father-in-law asked me one time, he says, because him and I have a lot of really cool talks, and he asked me, do you think teachers should teach their students what to think? And I said, I do not. I think teachers need to teach their students how to think.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what makes my wife so admirable in my eyes, is that that's how she's, when she teaches things, like, she does her thing, but when it's not a charged conversation, but when it's something a little bit out of the context, she's like, but don't believe me because I'm saying it. You know what I mean? She's like, you don't believe what I'm saying. Go do your own research. And when you mm-hmm. do research who you're getting this research from. Consider the source. And so there's a lot of merit behind the critical thinking. We actually had a class at the school called, that was critical thinking.
Ugh, that would mess me up.
That was one of my most favorite classes of all time.
That was the class that had the question that messed us up, right?
Yeah, but so the premise of critical thinking is it's taking words and turning them into numbers to actually almost mathematically work out the legitimacy of what somebody is saying, right? Mm-hmm. So the classic one is when it rains, the porch gets wet. Okay, well, the porch is wet, so it must have rained. That's a fallacy. That's right. The whole premise of it, right? Because yeah. something, so if the phrase, and it helps you actually with programming too, right? But if it rains, the porch gets wet. That means that when it rains, you can safely assume the porch is wet. But if the porch is wet, you cannot assume that it rained, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's like the bare bones of it. So it gets a lot more. This is when they talked about, like, I think the phrasing was like modus tonens and modus ponens. Like, they're all these different.
I don't know how you remember all this.
Because I really enjoyed
gone.
It.
It's gone. It's not in my brain.
Yeah, I see. And I really enjoyed it. But wow. But it's became so innate with me that sometimes, and I don't debate or argue. I've talked about this. Don't converse to win or whatever, but there's times where you have to work something out with somebody, you know, at work, and they'll say something that it's a fallacy. They don't know it is. They're not classically trained like that. This sounds, forgive me for how arrogant this sounds. That's not how I'm trying to come off here, but they'll say something and I'll say, that's not necessarily true. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to rival them. I'm saying, hold on for a second. And I pause. I'm like, let's pump the brakes. You're really hitching your wagon to this being an absolute, but let's break it down because it's not. This is chance. You have to be aware of that. And so it helps us, you know, do that and have that level of conversation. But when people aren't A, taught how to think, or B, I just have to say it, lack the capacity to, then it's a dangerous world that they live in, because then they become somebody who will just open up wide and swallow whatever's in front of them.
Yeah, that's, you know, that is dangerous.
That's very dangerous. Yeah. It's very dangerous. And so in to that effect, everybody listening, don't believe me because I'm saying it. You know what I mean? Go. I might be saying it in a way that's compelling to, and you're going to believe me, and that's great, but go do your own research. You know, you have to.
Would it, Maynard, speak for yourself, question authority. Yep. Is that... there's that line in there, and mm-hmm. that's, you know, in a roundabout way, kind of what you're saying.
It is. Yeah. He's talking about all the different authorities. He's talking mm-hmm. about government bodies. He's talking about the church. He's talking about all that. And just believing or disbelieving one of them, that's also not an absolute. Just because the government is just an example, but the government's going to do something that it's a big old lie. It doesn't mean every government in the history of mankind has been full of crap. It doesn't mean that.
Yeah.
It means not even that government is, but that government at that particular time on that particular topic blew it. You know what I mean? These are the things where we get so charged, and we just commit to a certain ideology, and we just dig in. It's like, hold on, stay open-minded, like mm-hmm. stay as open-minded as you can, because it's going to be so derailing when you're so convinced of A and then B happens. You're like, what? And it's because you dug in. Mm-hmm. Nothing's permanent. Nothing's locked in. And these are the lessons I walked away from college with, is because of some of those awesome teachers. Yeah. Critical thinking was critical thinking. That was the teacher. That was the one that did the, good question, Newman.
Oh.
That was her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. See, she taught many different classes.
She was that good. That she taught program. She taught ASP. Classic ASP.
Yeah, yeah.
I know for a fact she was our classic ASP teacher.
Yeah.
Because... she was so good that I immediately started programming an application for the job I was in.
Oh, wow.
Like, in classic ASP. Like during that class, as I was learning it from her, I started developing an application. I worked in a help desk for a call center. And the IT, head of IT guy, I forget if he was CEO or whatever. I forget what he called himself, but... he like came in and he's like, hey, our ticketing system, license is up for renewal and they raise their rates and it's crazy. Like, I don't know if we, like, he's asking the help desk, like, how much do you guys actually use this ticketing system? Because the bill for renewal is expensive. And I was like, I raised my hand. I'm like, I think I can program that. Like, I can code a program that'll do exactly what our current thing is doing for free. I just need some time off the phones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, can you just say it's cool if you spend half your day answering the tech calls and the other half programming? And he's like, if you can do it, then go for it. And so, like, I started doing
that's
it.
So awesome.
In between calls, I started programming a ticketing system
for
this company. And after a month or two, I had it up and running and we were using it and it was tracking every call, and all the help desk agents were logging their tickets, and we were able to, oh, so-and-so is calling about this PC load letter error. Look it up, you know.
PC load letter.
Yeah. Office Space, you mentioned. We love that movie. And so I had a search engine, and they could look it up. Oh, yeah, somebody called in a couple weeks ago. It looks like the agent just had to press this button, and it fixed it. And so I developed this whole thing, and they didn't have to renew the software, save the company however much money it was. I can't remember.
It's amazing.
And next thing I knew, I was getting an award.
Yeah.
Like, I was at a you know, end of the year party or whatever, and I was getting called up on stage and employee of the year type thing. I was like, holy cow. Like,
I love
and that
it.
Was all because that teacher was so good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That I was able to immediately apply the skills.
Yeah.
I'm
really glad that we're flipping the script on me right now, because I started off just remembering the crap teachers, but you're like refreshing me. No, we had some good ones. We had some really good ones. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a feel good moment right now.
Yeah, it is funny how, like, but when we think back, the first things that come to mind are those negative
experiences. Yeah, unfortunately.
And then you start digging. You're like, oh, wait, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it was awesome. I met my wife there. We got some really good teachers that we learned a lot from. And here we are today. I mean, without that experience, we wouldn't be sitting here today.
Yeah.
You know, it's a butterfly true. Effect as well.
Yeah, but, it really is.
Yeah, we've told a lot of the other crazy stories, you know, like how we ditched class to go drinking that one time. I think we told that.
Come on.
I think we told that on a podcast already, so we can skip that one. You guys will have to go digging for it. It's in one of our 33 podcasts.
It might even be the first one. How'd we get here?
Probably, yeah. How'd we get here? We kind of like just skipped through years and like grabbed little pieces. So we probably talked about it in that one. But and then
maybe it was the leadership one. I don't care.
Oh, it probably was. Yeah. It was probably the leadership one, because you were the leader of getting the entire class to go get alcohol at 9 a.m. when our class got canceled. A 1 hour class got canceled.
Teacher.
And you decided this is an opportunity for us to go get drunk.
But that's not like that. It wasn't to go get drunk. It was to make the memory of having gotten drunk within an hour.
Yeah, well. We have it now.
But we had designated drivers. We were smart. We did it smart.
Yeah.
And we were all of age. I covered that too. It was a dumb thing to do.
I remember, you know, looking back, it was a challenging time. I mean, we talked about how we had jobs and families and stuff happening, and we would have very late, study sessions.
Yep.
Like, I remember you and I at one point we moved into houses. We finally had our own houses. You mentioned the apartment, but we'd before the end of our college experience, we both bought houses.
Yep.
And of course they were by each other. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
Weird.
That's true.
We live by each other. I followed you guys. but you were just down the street. So I'd drive over and we'd be up studying until 2 a.m. or whatever. And we knew we got to be up the next morning. 7 a.m. Got to make sure we're on our way to school. Go get your 4 hours of sleep. Yeah. See you tomorrow.
Exhausting.
And we'd carpool, which was smart. So I remember one day I came over and I was like in your driveway and like looking at my watch. It's after 7. Come on, where's he at? We're going to be late, man. Come on. Where he at? Not coming out. And so I like trying to text you, trying to call you, nothing. And I was like, I'm not putting up with this. I'm going to go get him. And I think I like knocked on your door, still no answer. And I'm like, that's it. I'm breaking in. I'm breaking into his house. So I go through your gate. I go around to the back. And I guess you'd left like the back sliding door unlocked or something. And so I make my way into your house and there's nobody home. But you, and you're in the bedroom and you're sleeping.
I've been tired.
You're dead to sleep, man.
I was working a lot and late.
It was tough. I mean, we were, it was tough times, right?
Yeah.
And So I was like, I'm going to wake him up. And instead of just like tapping you on the shoulder, I decided I'm going to take the blanket and I'm going to rip it off you. And oh my gosh, talk about acting before you think. The second I started to pull the blanket, my brain's like, wait, what if he's naked?
Which I wasn't.
And I have never been happier to find out that you don't sleep nude. So there was that.
I never have. That's not my gig, because you don't know when you have to get up in the middle of the night for an emergency or whatever. But now that I think about
it. I always imagined that, like, you know, okay, now we're getting TMI, but I do sleep.
Do you?
Naked. And so, because I run hot, you know, like, I'm hot right now. So I have imagined that, like, an intruder comes in the house and I got to jump up to fight him off or whatever, and I'm just gonna be naked.
Yeah, that's probably
like actually part of my strategy.
That's what it's gonna say. That's gonna be even more like coming at you with just swinging about. They're like, oh, never mind, I won't rob you.
I can see things are bad enough for you.
Oh god, that was really good.
I don't know how we got there, but we did, and this ran a lot longer than I could have imagined. But I
you just let him run.
They're yeah, beautiful. let him run. Our podcast just seemed getting longer and longer, but
I know
that was such a great time in our lives. I love reminiscing about it, because like as every time it's like we go to sit down and have these talks together, my brain's like, I don't know if I'm gonna remember any stories or have anything to say, and then once we get going, it's just like, they oh yeah, this, back. Oh yeah, that, oh yeah, that. Yeah. Next thing I know, I'm like, okay, yeah, here we are, over an hour, and I still have more I want to talk about.
Yeah,
but I think it's probably a good point to wrap this up.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up.
It's just another example of like how you and I have gone through a lot together, and mm-hmm. our relationship was hardened, you know, during that time, because we got each other through school.
Yeah.
And sometimes you even did my schoolwork for me.
Yeah. Yeah. We've talked about you did mine. We were looking out for each other.
Yeah. 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 So yeah, we had tough times, but you know, as they say, hard times make hard men.
Yeah.
There's that quote out there. So. And that's what I feel like, that whole experience kind of
made us bulletproof, dude.
It did.
It was good.
So,
all right, man, another good one. Yeah. And let's just, it's fun. Memory lane. We got to do more like this.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll wrap it up. Thanks everybody for listening and watching and stuff. Appreciate you.
See you guys.